Anyone else have one? Number 52.
I cling for my own, a king of the throne, a maker of land and of sea, whose throne is on high, whoever is mine to love and care for me.
That was 74 or 174?
174.
174. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, trust to take.
Number 30. Thank you.
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me. Face to face I shall behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
So just a little story to make a point here. had the privilege from time to time of leading this hymn sing way back many, many long years ago before I was married. I was always just a little twitchy because you're up front and you're kind of, well, you know, what will all these people think? What will the girls think about this? And now, I love all my brethren, but I really don't care what you think. My wife is here and she's really the only one that I care about. So I say that because you go to school, you go to work, whatever it may be. If your heart is taken up only with the Lord and he's the only one you're worried about pleasing, you care about other people, but you really don't care what they think. So the only deliverance comes from just being taken up with the Lord. So I love you all, but I love my wife. 41.
He loved the splendor of heaven. No.
47 and which was the other one?
77.
47 and 77. Okay. 47.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Thank you.
3.
Low in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior.
Oh, our Lady.
number 33. Thank you, brother.
Just that hymn we were just singing.
Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? Did you, for one? But second, prayer is far more wonderful and powerful than any one of us realize. And the more we take advantage of it, the more we realize it, the better. But also, the prayers of our brethren are something that's much needed. There may perhaps come a time in your life where you're so worn down and wearied from a trial and from a burden that's being carried that you hardly can even pray. And that's when we so value the prayers of our brethren. So they do much for ourselves and the needs that we have, but they do much for our brethren and the unbelievers, the lost that we pray for their salvation as well. There's much power in dependence. Number 33.
God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. I'll see the light.
marked decrease in the amount of decibels on that hymn, which means we're probably most of us going hoarse, so we'll have a word from our brother now.
Well, you know, I'm not much different than the man that stood up here a little while ago and spoke the gospel. And I was even taken with some of the things that he said in the fact that, you know, I was just like him in that I wasn't sure of my salvation. And I can remember asking the Lord to wash my sins away because I wasn't sure I had done it right the first time. And so maybe, you know, all of us are very much alike in some of these ways sometimes. But the Lord wants to help us. He wants to help us. And so I just wonder, you know, he told that story about the man that struck the building with his car and he died in that accident. And, you know, I know how fast cars go, and it doesn't take very much time to get from here to that door in a car when you're up to speed. And it's just like that. It's so quick. And he was gone. It's been much longer from the moment that Kevin told that story until now. Is there really anybody that could be left in this room now that hasn't asked the Lord Jesus to save them? Could you possibly have put it off again? Are you risking that at any moment you could be taken out of this world and you could be on your way to hell, to a lost eternity? Well, I couldn't miss the opportunity to just mention that to you now. And you know, the thought that I had tonight for the meeting was designed a little bit for the young people being reminded of what I was like as a young person. And so I'll continue with that, and hopefully it'll be simple enough for everybody to understand. And you know, I was thinking we've had much before us today, even about the family of God. And we were told by Mr. James that you can read about it in the epistles of John. And Kevin brought into fact tonight in the gospel that when we're saved, we become a part of the family of God. And he mentioned too that as believers, sometimes we can miss out on the blessings. On the blessings that God wants to give us, even as believers, we can miss out. And we can miss out on the blessings of being a part of the family of God. So, you know, I was reading through my Bible one day, and I got to Genesis chapter 24, and I saw, well, I must like that chapter, I opened right to it. Genesis chapter 24, it's the story of Isaac and Rebekah. Well, it's the story of Abraham sending his servant to go and search out a wife for Isaac. And I'm not going to go through that whole story, but I just wanted to read this one part of this verse that jumped out at me when I read it. You can go read the story yourself, but I wanted to read this part in Genesis chapter 24. And it says in verse 31, and he said, this is Laban, and he is saying this to the servant that had met with Rebekah. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? I thought about that a little bit. And you know, I recognized that Abraham had sent his servant to go back to seek out of the lineage or the kindred of Abraham a wife for Isaac. They were all of the same family. Can I say it that way? The servant was not. The servant was not. But Laban said, come in. Come in. I better say it, read it. Wherefore standest thou without? And it's much like that for us as we are believers in Christ. I'm not related to Kevin by blood. I'm not related to Mr. Daplin by blood. But it's much like that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, that we come in to the fold, if I can say that. We come into the family and we become something that is just magnificent. It's wonderful. You know, we read about it in 1 Corinthians 12 when you read about the body of Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to be a part of it. He says we're members in particular. That's how special we are, members in particular. And there's a special place for you and me and everyone else that believes in Him. Now, turn to Matthew chapter 12 for a moment. Maybe we'll put a little spin on this for a moment. Matthew chapter 12, because now we've got the family of God's going to be mentioned and family, blood family. All right, Matthew 12 and verse 46. It says, "While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without." His mother and his brethren stood without. That's the Lord Jesus' mother and his brother, his brethren. "Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, and he said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren." To his disciples he said that. "My mother and my brethren. For whosoever," here's the important verse, "for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. For whosoever will do the will of my Father." You know, Kevin mentioned that portion tonight in the garden when Jesus was on his knees and he prayed to the Father. He said, "Take this cup from me." But he continued on. He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And you can read in John chapter 6, he said, "I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me." And so my thought tonight was this. What is your will? Do you want to do the will of God while you're here in this lifetime? Do you want to be a part of the family of God and receive all those blessings? Or do you want to place yourself without and do your own will? Your own selfish ways, your own things. And so, you know, I suppose I have to be a little bit careful what I say. But I thought I would just tell you a little bit about myself for a moment. I see some of the young guys I know. I know how hard it is to grow up. Being around worldly people, going to school, worldly girls, worldly boys. I know how hard it is. I've gone through it, and I've failed at it. I was brought up in the Sunday school. I was brought up in the meeting just like all of you, or at least most of you. I was saved as a little boy. They tell me I was 3 years old, and I was running around singing "Jesus Loves Me" everywhere I went. Couldn't talk yet, but I could sing. But you know, I got a little bit older and I started to recognize that some of the other guys were doing other things. And I thought, well, it might be fun to do that. And so I did some of those things, and you know, it wasn't long before I became Stephen's age and Caleb's age, and I was doing other things that maybe were worse than the things when I was your age, David. And I was willing at that point now to set myself without the family of God. I was willing to give up all those blessings and set myself without, thinking that I might enjoy a little bit of sin for a season, is what it says in the Bible. But you know, I didn't enjoy any of it. I didn't enjoy any of it. It brought heartache, it brought grief, and it was extremely selfish. Extremely selfish. Look at Elisha. Kevin brought out how he had to keep his eye. He had to keep his eye on Elijah as he went up in order to receive the blessing. You know, it tells us in Matthew chapter 6. Look in Matthew chapter 6. I'm thankful to Kevin because a lot of these verses came out while he was speaking. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." So don't be concerned with the things of this world, the things of this earth. They're not going to last you. They're no good to you. They have no value. It says, "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now look at this. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." You know, you can only enjoy a fancy sports car for so long. It only looks shiny for a little while. You know, you get a little older like Jonathan and you get some kids, and before you know it, there's scratches on the car and there's dings in the car from little rocks being thrown and things like that. And all those earthly things don't become near as important as they once were. Here it says, "Where your heart is, there will your where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so it goes on to speak about the eye here in verse 22. It says, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Elisha was looking. He was looking in the right direction. He was looking and he was waiting to receive that blessing. Where are you looking? I know some of you are really young, and I get it. I get it. Maybe you don't quite understand this as much as some of the older boys and girls do, but I'm going to tell you, if you have your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ now, keep it there. Don't look at the things of this world. Don't look around at what you think is cool and what you think you might enjoy that other boys and girls that aren't Christians are doing. Don't want those things because there's no blessing in it. Want the things that the Lord Jesus Christ is offering you, that you've heard, that you know from a little child. You've been trained up in those things. So then it goes on, it says, "But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness." You know, I felt like, I just felt that darkness. I did. I don't know how to explain it. I remember wanting to go to meeting on Lord's Day morning. I remember wanting to remember the Lord and His death. I remember wanting to make everybody in the room happy with me in the way I acted. I remember all those things. But it was like empty. It was like dark. Because as soon as I would go out of the meeting room, I'd call my friends and I'd say, "Hey, what are we doing?" And then I'd be gone. And everything that I had had in the meeting room, I left it all behind. Left it all behind. Here it says, "No man can serve two masters." Verse 24. "For either we will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." You can't. You might think you are. But I want to tell you something that I know from experience. And I know it is true. That the Lord Jesus does not spare any space. He will not share even the smallest amount of room in your heart. If you're going to give your heart, if you're going to give your place over to the things of this world, the things of Satan, the Lord Jesus won't share space with that. So you can't serve both. You won't have anything to do with evil. You understand that? So, you know, it brings me to the point that what I did was selfish. It was selfish motivation. And first of all, I hurt the Lord. I hurt the Lord first. Then I hurt my family, the family of God. And I hurt myself. It limited my relationship with the Lord Jesus and with my brethren, with the family of God. It limited my relationship with God. And I'm certain He missed me and wanted me to be drawn closer to Him. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that He helped me through difficulty to see the error of my ways, and that He drew me back to Himself because He loves me. But you don't have to go through that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You don't have to go through that. Consider it. Think about things that maybe you think might be really fun, but you know they're wrong. Well, if you know they're wrong, then don't do them. Stop yourself now. And we mentioned praying. Ask the Lord to help you. I didn't ask the Lord to help me until it was too late. Until I'd already done the thing. Until I was already away. And then I'd say, Lord, help me. I need help. Well, I know He loved me and He did help me because I'm here with you tonight. And I'm thankful for that. But I want to tell you something about the family of God. And that's really the direction that I want to go into here. And I hope it's okay to talk about our recent experience as the Grinton family and to tell you a little bit about the love of the saints. You know, we had this hurricane that came through our town and it damaged the house so bad that it took the shingles and the tar paper off the roof and the water came gushing in through all the fans and all the lights and it was coming out the tops of the windows and the doors and it was everywhere. And at one point I looked at my wife and I just had tears running down my face and I wish it was the water from the rain, but I was feeling pretty sad. You know, I couldn't believe that we were in this situation at 3 o'clock in the morning and my wife couldn't even go and lay down. There was no place to lay down. And anyway, you know, we held on to one another and we prayed and the Lord carried us through it. But you know, it was only hours. I don't even know how. It was only hours. And the brothers and sisters in Stellarton, they found out what happened. And then we got messages from different parts of Canada. And then different parts of the United States of America. Then we found out that they were praying for us at the conference in Belgium. And then we got emails and phone calls from England. And there's so many in this room that I get texts from and emails from. That's just a little tiny taste of what it is to be brought into the family of God, the body of Christ, the one body. That's just a little taste. And so if you walk in the path that He has laid out, you'll rejoice and be happy. You'll walk with the Lord. You'll walk with your brethren. We'll help one another along this path. We'll encourage each other to the end. Doesn't that sound so much better than the first story? You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you about the first story. As much as you have that verse, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Even though you have that verse, I have this little touch of reproach, I'll say, that goes with me wherever I go to those that know the things that I have done in my past. And even though I'm forgiven for it, it sticks with you. And you can't get rid of that thing. You just can't get rid of it. Some don't look. Some don't look upon me in a way that recognizes that, but some maybe do. And it never goes away. So consider before you do something that might be horribly wrong, consider before you do it that you're going to hurt the Lord, you're going to hurt your brethren, and you're going to hurt yourself, and maybe for the rest of your life. Maybe for the rest of your life. And so consider the second story with the love of the brethren, with the love of the family of God, and how I have just described it to you, and it's just a small taste, just a tiny, tiny taste of what the family of God can do for one another, to be wrapped up by one another. You're in a difficult situation. Jonathan mentioned prayer. He said, maybe you can't even pray anymore. He said, but your brethren can pray for you. Maybe you can all pray together too, like what's been going on for us. It's pretty amazing. It's a beautiful thing. But don't put yourself without. Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I making that clear? Don't put yourself without. You do that to yourself. I did that to myself. Nobody told me I should go do those things. I did it all by myself. You know, if had I stayed within, had I talked to somebody about my desires or the things that I wanted to do, somebody in the family of God would have come. They would have put their arm around me and they would have said, hey, you know what? That's not a good idea. You know, you don't need to do those things. It's not good for you. And they'd be a real help to you. Well, I'm certain I had a few more verses that I was going to read, but I think we'll end on that note and just consider. Well, let's just look at those verses quick in 1 Corinthians 12. I think it's good to see them. Now it says, 1 Corinthians 12 and 12, it says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And then it says in verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. And then it says in verse 18, for now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Isn't that nice? He's put you in a place that pleases him. Why? Because you're special and he wants you to be able to accomplish those things that he has laid out for you in this pathway. It says a little further down, verse 25. And I was thinking a little bit of this verse, particularly with what Jonathan said about his wife, because I know that he loves his wife. But, you know, I know he loves everyone in this room. He was teasing you a little bit. Here it says, but that the members should have the same care one for another. He does care about you. He does. And we care about him, too. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now look at this. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Isn't that beautiful? Just think of that. And so when we put ourselves, can I say once again, without, so to speak, of the family of God, we take ourselves out of such a beautiful position that God has put us into because he loves us. Members in particular. So, I just hope that you might consider those things and that they might be a warning to you. And that you might really appreciate the blessings that God has brought you and I into through salvation in his Son. And so if you've believed in him, he has brought you into this family. And if you're in this family, then we have a responsibility to one another, to love one another, to have the same care for one another, and to take care of each other. And that means praying for each other, too.